This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The National Nuclear Security Administration is truly moving from a nuclear weapons complex to a 21st century security enterprise, addressing the national security challenges of the 21st century. From maintaining the safety, security, and effectiveness of the U.S. nuclear stockpile, reducing the global threat posed by nuclear proliferation, and securing the propulsion systems for the U.S. Navy. To do this, NNSA relies on information and technology, as well as state-of-the-art science and engineering. The agency depends on the availability of and access to high-quality, timely, and reliable information, and the technology that makes it all possible. Both are strategic assets to an agency that understands managing these resources effectively and efficiently is key to it being successful. What is the information technology strategy for the United States National Nuclear Security Administration? How is the NNSA modernizing its technology infrastructure and ensuring its IT investments align with its overall mission? How is the agency providing balanced stewardship between information and technology? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Bob Osborne, Associate Administrator for Information Management and Chief Information Officer at the National Nuclear Security Administration. Bob, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate it, Michael and Barb, for hosting me.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Barb Hudson. Barb, welcome.
Thank you.
Bob, before we delve into specific initiatives, I was wondering if you could give us a brief overview of the history and mission of the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration. More particularly, when was it created and how has it evolved?
Well, the National Nuclear Security Administration was born in 2000. It came out of the desire for an increased level of scrutiny over the nuclear weapons stockpile. And it's a semi-autonomous administration as part of the Department of Energy. And it's quite an extensive realm of business projects that we have to look after in the nuclear security realm, as well as understanding all of the additional missions that have been added over the years. We originally started out as just managers of the nuclear weapons stockpile, and we've had the addition of nuclear non-proliferation added to our mission set, as well as emergency response and nuclear counterterrorism.
That's great. With such a critical mission, I want to get a sense of the operational footprint of your agency. Could you tell us a little bit about the size of the agency, the geographical footprint, number of FTEs, and more particularly, what's the budget?
Sure thing. NNSA is a widely dispersed organization. We're decentralized. We have 8 sites across the country, ranging from California to South Carolina. We have approximately 45,000 contractors. We have about 2,500 federal employees who watch over the activities of the NNSA. And our budget runs right around $12 billion.
Wow. So your mission has increased in the last 11 years. It's a pretty sizable workforce, both blended. What about your role as the Associate Administrator of Information Management and CIO at NNSA? Could you tell us a little bit about some of the responsibilities you have and what's under your portfolio?
So part of that is I'm trying to get the award for the longest title associated with any of the jobs at NNSA. But basically, I'm the chief information officer, and I'm responsible for supporting all of the lines of business, the missions of the NNSA to make sure that folks can collaborate, they get the information where they need, that it's assured, it's the correct information. And, of course, cybersecurity is a big part of our mission, and I focus a lot of my talent and time on that.
So regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges you face with your position, and how are you addressing those challenges?
Well, that's easy. Number one is cybersecurity. Two is always budget, and three is people. So in regards to cybersecurity, everything that we do and the transformation that we're undergoing with the NNSA Network Vision, or 2NV, as we like to refer to it, is oriented it towards increasing our cybersecurity posture. When I first came to the NNSA about 15 months ago, we had separated IT and cybersecurity, and I really don't understand how you do that, because without proper IT investments, the architecture being understood by the cybersecurity professionals, you really can't get the best benefit out of those tools and techniques. So we merged those, and I believe that every IT investment has a cybersecurity outcome. So we are addressing cybersecurity by putting in place a three-pillar transformation strategy. Two of those pillars are oriented towards cybersecurity. So the first pillar is the NNSA Network Vision, which we call increasing our infrastructure and upgrading our IT capabilities. The center pillar is the Joint Cybersecurity Coordination Center, which allows us to understand the health of our information, our systems, and our data. And then the third pillar is the Cyber Sciences Lab, which we refer to as protecting our future. So we're investing heavily in IT transformation that will not only increase the productivity of our workforce and drive down cost that's associated with that, but it's also going to result in a cybersecurity uptake, which is, I think, a win-win for everyone. The second concern is the budget. Of course, with the federal budget and the situation that we find ourselves, everyone's facing constrained resources. Fortunately, the NNSA Network Vision takes advantage of cloud technology, virtualization, and consolidation to decrease duplicative investments across the enterprise and allow us to reinvest the money that we do have to continue the transformation. So while I don't have to ask for additional funds in order to make this happen, we're doing what we believe is the best managerial activities that we can to use the taxpayers' money as sparingly as we can. The third is people. It's challenging in this type of a budget hiring and, well, we're not under a hiring freeze right now. It is a reduced hiring environment and a pay freeze for some of our federal employees to attract and maintain quality folks, particularly in the realm of IT. And for the headquarters environment, of course, we have a very competitive environment for skilled and talented IT professionals. So it's a challenge for us to create an environment that makes folks want to come work with the NNSA. Fortunately, we have a really compelling mission, and we have an active intern program and an outreach with the Wounded Warrior program to get young folks in. And what we've discovered is if we can get folks in and introduce them to the very challenging mission of the NNSA, they usually want to stay. But we're working very hard to try to make sure that we do the most to afford training and opportunities for growth for our folks so that we can keep those people who we need to carry out one of our nation's most critical missions.
So speaking of career paths and people, how did you get into this career, and what brought you to your current leadership role?
Probably the craziest path possible. I know you probably hear a lot that, you know, well, my path was different, or I'm very unique, but, you know, we all think we are unique. I hope I am. But I actually started out, I started out in the Marine Corps, and I was a C-130 loadmaster, and I came up through a career in the Marine Corps that was basically oriented toward logistics. I was introduced to computers during that time. I often say that any success I have comes from the most difficult path possible. I earned my degrees part-time, you know, while I was working, raising a family, and moving around in the Marine Corps. But I ended up finding out that I had a particular talent for understanding how information flows and how it supports organizational constructs. And I ended up with a master's from Syracuse. I got certified as a CIO by the federal government, both in GAO as well as the DOD. And followed the path of retirement from the Marine Corps, where I was involved in IT systems and the logistics systems for the Marine Corps. I went to work for the Army as a civilian in a similar role in logistics and force distribution, IT systems, and on to become the deputy CIO at the United States Transportation Command. before assuming this job as the CIO for the NNSA. So it's been a crazy kind of twisted path. But I think my background in understanding the operational needs of the customer has brought a lot to my ability to satisfy those needs as their CIO.
Bob, given your experience, what are the characteristics of an effective leader?
Well, that's a great question, Michael. Leadership, I believe, is a critical element to success. It's something that is not often readily available in the federal government. There's a huge difference between leadership and management. It's incumbent upon an effective leader to have a vision for where he sees his organization going. And then being able to articulate that vision through a strategy, then putting together a high-performing team and empowering that team to achieve the outcomes of the vision. All of those elements have to be put in place. And what we have noticed over time is the most effective government organizations who do succeed in their strategies have that key leadership at the forefront, someone who's clearly articulated a vision, put a strategy in place, and then put a team together to execute that strategy. I believe we've got that at NNSA.
What is the information technology strategy for the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration? We will ask its Chief Information Officer, Bob Osborne, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. How do we lead in an era of complex challenges? What does USDA do to promote the country's agricultural production and exports? How is EPA incorporating sustainability into its regulatory decision-making? What is the military health system's quadruple aim? And how is New York City leveraging technology to deliver human services? Pick up the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. We bring you insights and interviews from government executives who are changing the way government does business. Download or order a free copy at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Bob Osborne, Associate Administrator for Information Management and Chief Information Officer at the National Nuclear Security Administration. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Barb Hudson. So, Bob, you mentioned in our previous segment that information is viewed as a strategic asset to your agency in allowing it to meet its mission. To that end, would you tell us a little bit more about the IT strategy you have? What are your overarching strategic goals?
Great question. We really look at information as a key element of success in the National Nuclear Security Administration. We have a particular challenge in front of us that other agencies don't necessarily face. Our information must remain secure throughout time. Some technologies can guarantee security for a specific length of time, and then we realize most security capabilities has a shelf life and has to be replaced with new capabilities. Our nuclear weapons information has to remain secure throughout time. So that creates a particular set of challenges for us that we're looking at ways to address. So from a nature of including information technology in our strategy, Administrator DeAgostino and the Principal Deputy Neil Miller recognized early on that rather than just a wires and boxes CIO, they needed someone who would participate in a transformation of the NNSA from that guardian of the nuclear weapons stockpile into this nuclear security enterprise. That's what we're doing. The NNSA network vision is a direct supporting element of the one NNSA vision that Tom DeAgostino articulated last year. So as we move forward, our strategic goals are oriented toward, as I said in our first segment, really how do we achieve an increased security posture, meet the needs of our user base in wanting to have increased mobility? How do we drive cost out of our IT spend? How do we take advantage of the great leadership that we saw from OMB in the 25-point plan and really take the NNSA into leading edge, which is where I think any organization that possesses three of the world's premier national laboratories should be in the IT space?
So how are you cultivating an enterprise approach to your IT infrastructure and breaking down unnecessary silos?
It's all about partnering. We really take advantage of some of the great personalities that we find in place across our enterprise today. Mike Lukaitis, the DOE CIO, and I have partnered on several initiatives. Each of the three pillars of our transformation that I mentioned before, I'm in partnership with Mike Lukaitis on. And in the case of JC3 and CSL, Bruce Held, the Director of Intelligence for the DOE, is also a partner in those efforts. I reach out to all eight of the management and operating CIOs at our sites to partner with them on their individual strategies at their sites becoming part of the larger NNSA enterprise strategy. We've only recently had an enterprise strategy for the NNSA, so there's a change management element to this that really requires a lot of teamwork, a lot of discussion, a lot of transparency from my office. And I think we've been fairly successful to date on that.
Are there other challenges besides the change management challenge associated with cultivating an enterprise approach?
Sure. NNSA, like DOE at large, has a government-owned contractor-operated relationship with our management and operating contractors. So we have a contractual barrier, if you will, to a true organizational collaboration, if you will. So there are certain things that we would like to do that we have to be more careful with than we would if we were one entity who was under the same governance structure. But I have to applaud each of the members, both at the laboratory and plant leadership level, as well as the CIO level out there, on their willingness to reach across the fence, if you will, with us and partner together on this. I think we talked a little bit about what makes or determines successful leadership in the first segment. And I think you see that as you look across NNSA, shining examples of how that can work to make a government agency as efficient as possible and very effective.
You had mentioned NNSA's inherent responsibility to be a good steward of public funds and invest in the budget wisely. Currently, the IT investments within NNSA are loosely controlled. I'd like to explore the IT capital investment process within your agency. So specifically, what have you done to strengthen NNSA's IT capital investment process? How do you ensure investment decisions are mission aligned? And how are the costs justified? And then finally, would you be able to give us kind of an overview of how that operation actually works?
So any investment that we make today, whether it be IT or in a weapons program or a non-proliferation program, is under great scrutiny because of the budget pressures that we're feeling. When I came to the NNSA, we had a very well-defined cybersecurity program. But as I said, we had a separation between IT investments and cyber investments, which was unnatural to me. So when we combine those two capabilities, we are yet working through how you combine those budgets because there are, you know, regulatory requirements on the appropriation of different colors of money that we have to deal with. But it was incumbent upon my office to make sure that we understood where our investment dollars were going, even through the MNOs and their investments at the individual sites as well as the federal side. So an extensive portfolio management process that put the whole investment capability under a governance structure was a key to part of the transformation success of the NNSA network vision. So we established a process. It's the Enterprise Governance Management for Technology framework. It's in the process of being vetted now and becoming the policy of the NNSA on how we're going to manage all of our IT investments. That, once again, called for a lot of transparency between the MNO, CIO community and myself. A lot of, you know, give and take, because there's a feeling that whenever you start to talk about money, it becomes personal. You know, that is Bob at NNSA trying to take the money from, you know, we're not interested in that. We're interested, as you said, Barbara, in being good stewards of the money that we've been given to carry out this very crucial mission. So I'm confident that the process that we're putting in place right now is going to be fully encompassing of all of the investments that we're making, both on the government side as well as the MNO side, that'll help us create the most effective and efficient investment portfolio that we can have.
So to that end, with the transparency and the change management that you're going through for one NNSA, can you elaborate on your efforts to enhance the IT governance within NNSA?
Sure. I actually made Mr. Goodman Bellamy in charge of what we're doing with our portfolio management process so that he can manage that for me. We have weekly meetings at the sub-portfolio level that bubble up investments and reviews against our architecture, which is a key element of any investment portfolio strategy. This time last year, NNSA did not have an enterprise architecture. Each of the sites did their own architectures. As I said, a lot of the enterprise perspective that we have today, we only recently developed. We do now have an enterprise architecture, and it's a pretty cool one. And it is the basis from which we're making our investment decisions, which was always the intent of enterprise architecture. But in many instances, you'll find that architectures are developed for architects rather than for the business folks or the financial resource managers or for governance. And one of our objectives in developing ours was that it would be reflective and utilized by the business community and in understanding the lines of business and the processes associated with that so that our IT investments could be aligned properly in supporting those. You know, we all learn that is the right way to do it, right? But actually putting that into place was more difficult than it sounds. But we're there, and I'm really excited about that. So that's kind of how we're doing it now. The sub-portfolios bubble up the investments into the main Egmont format, and then we look at those investments against the architecture, and then we make informed decisions going forward to make sure that we're moving toward the NNSA network vision goal.
Well, Bob, a lot of federal agencies are looking to modernize their IT infrastructure, and one of the ways they're doing that is through data center consolidation. I was wondering, given all the things that are happening at your agency, are you pursuing this approach, and what are some of the specific challenges and maybe benefits of going in this direction?
So we definitely are embarking upon data center consolidation, but not in the traditional sense. When I first came to NNSA, we had one of our goals was to reduce the number of data centers. We have many of them. Each site has many of them. They're very costly. Many of them are antiquated and haven't been maintained. But rather than just consolidate data center, we wanted to make sure that we were understanding what the environment was and how we were going to support the computing needs of the entire enterprise and then design our data center around the support of those needs. And what you discover is, in a diverse population like we have in NNSA, where we have some of the world's foremost research physicists doing collaboration work around the globe with other scientists, down to highly secure manufacturing support operations in our plants, there are some activities that are readily virtualized and centralized and make themselves prime candidates to be co-located in a centralized data center, and then there are other capabilities and requirements for computing support that require localized data. So we acknowledge that every site will still require a data center capability, but at a much reduced requirement than they have today, and the majority of our data requirements, our data support needs, can be centralized. So we've approached, as part of our conceptual architecture for the NNSA network vision, is a Data East, Data West strategy. So our main data centers are going to be virtualized hybrid clouds in a data center on the East Coast and a data center on the West Coast to support our labs and plants, while each of our sites will have local data centers to support their individual needs, such as supercomputing, specific modeling and simulation, computer-controlled design and manufacturing processes, things of that nature.
So you mentioned pursuing the virtualization and the cloud computing. How are you going to use those more efficiently for provisioning, scaling, and the management IT resources themselves?
Great question. We are in the process of designing an infrastructure on demand model that will allow us to take advantage of the elasticity of the cloud that is really the full promise of the cloud within a more secure architecture. So while we're not taking a full leap into the public cloud architecture because we have to ensure that we understand where our data is and how it's acting, we definitely want to take advantage of all of the architectural advantages of a cloud infrastructure. We're borrowing from our own laboratories, technologies that they've developed, infrastructure on demand, for example, as part of what we've coined as Your Cloud, part of our NNSA network vision delivery. Your Cloud is a infrastructure on demand model where we'll be able to host applications across the enterprise within a centrally certified and accredited environment that security is inherited to those applications that are hosted there. These virtual servers can be stood up within 30 minutes through a few clicks on our website versus 3 to 6 months that it takes to acquire a set of servers for a researcher, for example. So we're pretty excited about that. That, in addition to our One Voice offering, which is going to be the first killer app in our Your Cloud offering, integrated rich communication stack that'll transcend our traditional email communication in the NNSA into a social fabric rather than just a social network that will connect researcher to researcher, government to government, and MNO to government within a controlled environment that we all understand can utilize.
Well, Bob, sustainability and operations has been a key focus of the current administration. To that end, would you elaborate on your efforts to be good environmental stewards and pursue green computing?
Absolutely. Clearly, as one of the main programs within the Department of Energy. One would expect us to always have energy conservation at the forefront of our planning, and we do. Part of our design criteria for our server consolidation and virtualization effort is to go with providers who have the highest proven green stamp, if you will, as well as our new design for future data centers at each of our sites are taking advantage of actually technologies that one of our DOE renewable energy labs out in Denver has pioneered. So at each part of our design in our architecture, how can we reduce energy consumption? How can we reduce space? How can we reduce the number of redundant capabilities are always part of our calculus. Just by reducing the number of physical servers, we're reducing power significantly. As we continue to develop and refine what that design looks like, I'll actually have those numbers very soon. But we're also moving away from desktop computers to thin or zero client computers, much more energy efficient. Only use a fraction of the power of a desktop computer. We're going to bring your own device, reducing the number of actual devices that we have to maintain and dispose of. There are a multitude of things with second and third order effects that affect sustainability issues that are measurable, and that's absolutely part of our calculus.
Well, you mentioned earlier the idea of going through a transformation, and the IT mission support at the agency is definitely doing that. With all of the things that you're talked about with us, how are you enhancing satisfaction among end users, both internal and external to your agency?
Yeah, that's a great question, and often the only one that really matters to the user, right? So part of the NNSA network vision, there are three outcomes, main outcomes, many sub-outcomes, but three main outcomes. And usually when you embark upon a transformation like this, one of the main drivers is cost. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't our main driver. Well, then you say, well, perhaps the main driver is user satisfaction or the ability to upgrade your technology. Well, that is one, but not the main one. Our main outcome of our transformation is increasing our cybersecurity posture. However, this is a real sweet spot in technology right now at this point in time where we can actually achieve all three of those. So by going to a device agnostic virtual desktop infrastructure with a bring your own device policy, in a virtualized cloud, we really hit all the sweet spots that allow us to reduce the cost, increase our user satisfaction and effectiveness by basically allowing people to connect to their information from wherever they are on whatever device they're most comfortable using, while we also increase our cybersecurity posture by removing that risk from the endpoint device into the server environment where we're more comfortable with where that risk resides.
How is the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration managing its information technology resources? We will ask Bob Osborne, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. How do we lead in an era of complex challenges? What is DOD doing to change the way it does business? How is EPA incorporating sustainability into its regulatory decision-making? What does USDA do to promote the country's agricultural production and exports? And how is New York City leveraging technology to deliver human services? Pick up the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. We bring you insights and interviews from government executives who are changing the way government does business. Download or order a free copy at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Bob Osborne, Associate Administrator for Information Management and Chief Information Officer at the National Nuclear Security Administration. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Barb Hudson. So, Bob, you've mentioned the critical importance of your agency strengthening its cybersecurity posture. I'd like to delve a little bit more into that. Would you elaborate on your efforts to secure the IT infrastructure of your organization, and more particularly, how does the Joint Cybersecurity Coordination Center, or JC3, and the Cyber Sciences Laboratory factor into your overall efforts in doing this?
Well, Michael, they're really key elements of our transformation. As I said, one of the tenets of our transformation is every IT investment has a cybersecurity outcome. But that's not good enough. We really have to be planning for the future. It's something that we as a society don't do well. We're pretty short attention span folks. We don't plan out in the future very well. programmatically. We only really budget 5 years in advance. That's not a long time when you're talking about scientific research, for example. So I sat down with the team last year, and we started to talk about how are we currently organized to understand what's happening with our information on our systems and running across our networks. How might we make that better? And then what are we doing to harness the power of the national laboratories to help us be prepared for whatever comes next? So as we devised the architecture for 2NV, it was critical that we bring together three different organizations that are today looking at our enterprise from a little bit different perspective. But the problem when you have three different organizations looking at something, there is an opportunity for gaps. So this is where Mike Lukaitis, the DOE CIO, Bruce Held, the DOE Director of Intelligence, and I sat down and we said, okay, we each own a piece of this. And wouldn't it be grand if we all could shake hands and say, let's shove them all together and come up with a better product that does a more effective job of understanding what is going on in our networks, analyzing what the threat is against our information, and then provide an environment that increases our ability to collaborate and decreases our response time should there be an incident. Clearly sounds like a great idea. This is another one of those ideas that is really easy to sit here and say, really tough to actually do. But we embarked on that. And actually on the 1st of October last year, we created what we call the JC3 Incubator. And that's basically one senior analyst from each of our shops sitting in the same room. So we've actually started down this path of increasing our awareness and our response capability. In its full instantiated realization will be a single organization that looks across the span of the department and is fully integrated in its response capabilities. And we're really excited about that. So that's that central pillar of the three-pillar strategy that I discussed earlier about understanding the health of our systems, information, and data. But once again, that's not enough. As I said earlier, we have a really challenging set of criteria in the NNSA. When you talk about nuclear weapons information, we're kind of skittish about it, the wrong folks getting a hold of that stuff. So looking out into the future and what's next, scientifically, we believe that there's great value to the nation to have a capability for sustained scientific research into cyber R&D, both in mathematics, computer science, physical sciences, to get ahead of the bow wave, if you will, of what the advanced persistent threat might be doing and stay ahead. Much like the nation came together during the Manhattan Project to address nuclear issues and the weaponization of nuclear capability, we believe it's time for the nation to come together and focus resources of the national laboratory capabilities toward this significant threat in cyber.
So from an IT operations perspective, how have you sought to improve project management discipline and structure? What are some of the steps you've taken to instantiate better process, discipline, tools, best practices, all of those around that critical area of project management?
Great question, Barb. It's not an easy one. We had a very decentralized approach to project management previously. As I said, enterprise was previously defined as the individual site, as an individual enterprise. So at each site, there was a well-developed process. So I'm not saying that we didn't have good processes. We did. But they were localized and therefore different. So when you try to get an enterprise perspective and understand what each project schedule was, you ran into different formats, different reporting criteria. There was not a commonality across the board. What we're trying to implement this year, it will be in place next year, will be as part of our Eggman process that we talked about earlier, is a common set of criteria and reporting schedules that will allow each of the projects, once they're approved through our overall process, to be assessed at the same intervals depending on the size of the project so that we understand how they're performing. Because another area where we have traditionally fallen short in the government is the ability to kill a bad performing program. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, we just throw more money at it and hope it gets well, right? Well, there's no more money to throw at things. So we have to be really smart about how we do this. I believe the project management team that we put together under Goody Bellman is really going to do a great job in that regard.
So, Bob, given your critical mission, I mean, the security of the nuclear stockpile, it's important to make sure nobody can get into it and the cyber threats and all the things that we talked about. But the other thing is, how are you enhancing and fostering successful information sharing across the extended energy community and more particularly, changing the culture from a need to know to a culture of need to have.
I like the way you put that, because it really is a need to have information. And in cyber time, which is a real challenge, events happen faster than we can react to them humanly. So there are tools that we want to put in place that will allow us to automatically respond to certain criteria. You can't do that in a dispersed architecture. You have to have some sort of a framework together that allow you to understand what's happening. That's where JC3 comes in. Mm-hmm. But the reason that the three pillars are shown together as our information transformation strategy is they really build upon one another. So if you brought together and harnessed the power of the cyber science lab and having the national laboratories work together in cyber R&D, that's really good. But how do you operationalize that? And that's been a challenge for our labs, is how do they operationalize the outcome of the research? Well, JC3 kind of provides that input into our operational CIOs at each of the M&O sites to be able to take advantage of the research that comes out of CSL. And that's good, but not as good as if you have a consolidated architecture, which the NNSA network vision provides, then JC3 has pathways through which to get that information and that coordination and collaboration out in cyber time. And you can put tools and automation in place that allow you to have an increased cybersecurity posture. So you can see how these things enhance one another when they're put together in context and in support of one another. In isolation, any one of the three is good. Together, they're fantastic.
Mobile computing is a versatile and potentially strategic technology that improves information quality and accessibility. It can also be a great enabler of shared IT services and can reduce the costs. What are you doing to build the next generation of mobile infrastructure within your agency?
Well, I'm doing everything I can, as fast as I can. The number one question I get from everyone on our staff at the headquarters is, when am I getting my iPad? And that's a good thing. Customer demand always helps us achieve our goals and rollout schedule. I'm actually one of the pilot users of the new technologies we're rolling out as part of 2NV's mobility policy. I've done several VTCs with the senior executive leadership and Tom DiAgostino on my iPad from my house already, which is a pretty big step forward for the NNSA. We now have all of our deputy administrators and associate administrators have iPads, and they have that same capability. So the mobility and the accessibility to their information from anywhere, we're getting there. The key element that's really going to get us to the next step and radically increase our cybersecurity posture is the rollout of our VDI. That's coming later this year. So when you combine mobility with the increased security that comes with the VDI offering, now you're starting to get to a mobile workforce that we're starting to see can become a virtual workforce. And what does that mean for an organization? We're starting to wrestle with that because we're pretty excited about what the possibilities might be, but we're on the cusp of the beginning of that transformation into a mobile and a more effective workforce.
Excellent. So that complexity and the diversity within all of your programs requires a range of analytical techniques and approaches to manage them effectively. Therefore, increasing the use of analytics and enhancing the analytical capabilities of your office is critical. Would you elaborate on current efforts to strengthen analytic capabilities within your office to better support these programs?
Yes, absolutely. Dashboards are huge. All of our senior management want dashboards, but dashboards are only as good as the feeds that are updating the information that is being presented. And those feeds rely on an architecture that enhances the real-time update from a reliable data source. Really hard to do today when you have 9 enterprises that view themselves independently. Causes huge integration problems for us. As we're moving forward, the ability for us to provide the information that we need to apply analytical tools that can give us real-time management capabilities, some of these fantastic software suites, is a critical element of the 2NV rollout. Right now, the dashboards that we do provide are basically manually updated. They come from spreadsheets. It's 90s way of doing business. Until you fix the underlying architecture, you really can't reach the power of today's business analytics.
Well, Bob, you've given our audience and ourselves an understanding of the many things that you're doing to transform the IT infrastructure at your agency. You're doing this in an era of fiscal constraint and austerity. And so it's critical that agency leaders keep strategic focus and intent out there for their employees. How are you keeping employees focused and motivated given some of the dramatic and painful changes that they're experiencing?
Yeah, that's a very sensitive subject for any leader. Certainly for us, as we go forward, the budget climate causes angst amongst most of the employees. They wonder if the program is going to be successful. Is it going to continue? We're very fortunate at NNSA. Tom DiAgostino and Neil Miller are committed to making this transformation work because we realize that the true efficiencies and increased effectiveness of the One NNSA initiative can only be realized through an IT transformation that'll support that one view of the enterprise. So while we don't have an increase in our budget, we have a stable budget right now. Mm-hmm. We're taking advantage of that by not being abusive of our request for additional resources. We're reinvesting monies that we are basically harvesting by collaboration, data center consolidation, ferreting out shadow IT and eliminating that duplication. But I don't mean to say that in a negative and pejorative way, because really any shadow IT is an indicator that your primary CIO's IT offerings are inadequate. Mm-hmm. So you have to address that so you have a viable alternative that'll bring the business units back into the corporate solution that allows you to reduce the cost of that IT spend that's coming out of somebody else's program. So we're doing that. And holistically, what that's allowing us to do is to continue our transformation within our current budget. Mm-hmm. We're very proud of that. I got some really smart folks that are working hard to make that happen. Not always easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always easier if you had a little bit of extra money, but we don't. So we have to be really careful with how we do it. We're very selective and pretty meticulous in how we're going forward and how we're selecting particular solutions. And in some cases, you winnow down what your customer expectations are to make sure that you can achieve your outcomes.
I'd like to continue on the idea of the smart folks that you're talking about, the staff that makes your vision a reality. What are you doing to make sure that you have a well-trained technical workforce?
Great question. It's a challenge for any federal agency. One of my key concerns and challenges is attracting and retaining quality IT workforce. We do that by making sure that we have a effective training and growth program so that folks see that there's upward mobility within the organization. We have a pretty extensive training offering program that allows folks to go off to training at different levels depending on their grade and their duties. But we do support that budget. We maintain that because we believe that's an investment in our future just as much as the cyber sciences lab is an investment in protecting our information future. If you would ask our folks, that you would find that we have created a climate that makes them feel valued, that their contributions are recognized, and that they see upward mobility within the NNSA towards leadership positions. But it's really hard to keep them in the current budget climate when you have federal pay freezes and enticement from external agencies to get those really key smart folks out of the government and working for someone else. But like I said before, we have a compelling mission. When you really get into what NNSA does, what we're responsible for, we do some pretty cool stuff, and our folks get excited about what we're doing. And the NNSA network vision transformation, you know, bringing mobility, bringing device agnosticity, changing to a VDI and a thin client deployment, this is exciting. The cybersecurity JC3 initiative and really ramping up that capability is exciting to folks. And that helps, you know, keep them interested in working for us.
Actually, with all that tremendous amount of change that you're dealing with, both the transformation and the budget constraints, folks leaving, retiring, what have you, how do you retain that institutional memory and that knowledge? And really, what is your knowledge management strategy?
It's really, really a great question. It's something that we wrestle with. Each of our sites have had, for some period of time, very robust knowledge management and knowledge capture programs in place as the scientific knowledge base that was involved in the original Manhattan Project are now, most of them are passed away. Many are in the last portions of their career. We now at the headquarters recognize the power of the tools that have been developed in the field. And this is a theme that you see throughout our transformation. Rather than inventing everything new, we're trying to take advantage of some pretty well-developed and well-thought-out processes and programs at each of the sites that were developed by some of the smartest people in the world. This is one of those. We really didn't have that level of understanding of knowledge drain, if you will, at the senior management headquarters level and what the impact on the organization would be. But really, in order to be most effective in NNSA, you have to understand the holistic mission and activities of the administration's duties. You don't get that overnight. We have some amazing people who have been with NNSA for 15, 20, 40 years now who are getting ready to move on either into retirement or other pursuits, that if we don't capture that knowledge on the federal side, we're going to lose a great deal of capability. Like I said, our MNOs have figured that out. They're already mining the data of the smart scientists. We're going to mimic that, bring those programs into the federal side, and make sure that we capture some of the great minds, such as Jay Kavanaugh, who's one of our great federal leaders, who's going to be retiring shortly. And we want to make sure that, you know, we can suck all that knowledge out of his brain and store it somewhere.
What does the future hold for information technology at the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration? We will ask its Chief Information Officer, Bob Osborne, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. What does the USDA do to promote the country's agricultural production and exports? How is EPA incorporating sustainability into its regulatory decision-making? What is the military health system's quadruple aim? How is the Maritime Administration working to enhance U.S. competitiveness? And what about DHS's acquisition and procurement strategies? Pick up the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. We bring you insights and interviews from government executives who are changing the way government does business. Hear from U.S. Deputy Secretary Kathleen Merrigan, David Matsuda, Administrator of the U.S. Maritime Administration, and Dr. Jonathan Woodson, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs. Robert Hale and Beth McGrath provide us with their insights on how DOD is changing the way it does business and leading in an era of complex challenges. All of this and more in the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine. Order a free copy at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Bob Osborne, Associate Administrator for Information Management and Chief Information Officer at the National Nuclear Security Administration. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Barb Hudson. Bob, I have the pleasure of talking to many of my guests about their use of collaboration and partnership among federal agencies and outside with the private sector and nonprofit sector. Would you tell me what you're doing leveraging partnerships to improve IT outcomes? And the other thing I wanted to know is, how can partnerships and collaboration lead to innovation?
Absolutely. And without partnerships, I don't know where we would move the federal government. We rely on our commercial partners. We rely on academia. Each of our national laboratories and most of our plants have enduring relationships with significant academic institutions, universities, colleges, et cetera. But as we move forward, we're trying to create coalitions that allow us to cross-pollinate between these rather one-to-one relationships into more holistic and wide-ranging partnerships. We obviously collaborate quite closely with DOD and DHS and their roles in cybersecurity with the National Security Agency. In part of creating the Cyber Sciences Laboratory, reaching across DOD and DHS with DOE to understand what the requirements of all are, what work is going on at the laboratories for the other agencies today, that's shareable and isn't of specific intelligence concern, and then how do we share that information not only within the Department of Energy but across government as a whole in order to help us secure the nation's infrastructure. We also are reaching out to other collaborative organizations such as the Knowledge Management Laboratory at Transportation Command, where I was last, which is a collaboration of industry and academia that work together on DOD transportation problems, a lot of which are related to cybersecurity. So through that, you create a rather far-reaching web into industry, academia, and government that allow you to share best practices, understand what concerns and challenges are, and I think get the best possible solution going forward. It's all about transparency. It's about partnership. But coming into the end of delivery, it's critical to understand how the impact of whatever it is that you're going to be doing will have on those partners as you go into a sharing environment.
So given the critical role of IT within your mission and the programs that you deliver, How do you see the role of CIO becoming a trusted advisor? And what are some of the characteristics that you believe it'll take for a CIO to be successful in the future?
Yeah, great question. I think we're right now seeing the transformation of what the Clinger-Cohen Act initially was established to identify a key role in getting the control and management of IT investments across an organization is now kind of morphing into a realization that the CIO is really more than that. That function is really now what we refer to as a CTO, the Chief Technical Officer. That's the wires and boxes, making sure the infrastructure works right, all of the security parameters are met, whereas the CIO is really the link between the technologist and the business. So understanding the business is critical for any CIO. Being a part of the strategic leadership team is critical for any high-performing CIO, so that not only can he advise the program leads on how IT can enable what they're trying to do, but he can also tell the technologist, here's what the business needs. Often, technology is introduced for technology's sake, and often that leads to customer dissatisfaction. Or customers have requirements that exceed the capabilities of either the budget or the technology at hand. That was always a throw-it-over-the-fence philosophy in the past. Today's emerging CIO transcends that and bridges that wall, if you will. A key part of the leadership team, an advisor to the CEO or the administrator or secretary, ensuring that the organization can take advantage of all the various and powerful IT capabilities that support business processes today. Our nation runs on information. We believe, rather than the only path to CEO being through the COO or CFO, we believe there's a path now from the CIO to the CEO. Because really to grasp the entirety of how a organization functions and to have the most effective outcome of whatever that organization produces, you really have to include information technology today. So the CIO is just as involved in the business as the COO is.
I'd like to take a minute and congratulate you on being a recent recipient of the Federal 100 Award. Given this peer recognition goes to individuals who made a difference in government technology, could you give us a little more information about the award? And in addition, could you tell us what emerging technologies hold the promise for improving IT in the federal sector?
Well, thanks for noticing. To begin with, I'm obviously very flattered to be considered for such an award. It's all based on our 2NV and our transformation strategy. Our ability at NNSA, first of all, set a vision, devise a strategy, put this team together, and then through the leadership of Tom DiAgostino and Neil Miller to actually drive this to delivery in a year is phenomenal. I give them all the credit for that. The team that's doing this, high-performing folks, I mean, what a great crew we have from our CTO all the way down to the my associate CIOs are the ones who are really doing the heavy lifting. Now I get to be the head cheerleader, right? But the technologies that are driving us forward, number one is mobility. It's going to change how we do business. It's going to change how government looks. And there are opportunities out there that I don't think we really are aware of yet and have taken advantage of. Some of your forward-leading companies are going in that direction. Virtual working is fairly common, particularly in technology companies. We believe there are applications for that in the federal government and in other government spaces. But what does that mean? What does a management structure look like in what is traditionally a come-to-a-fixed-location, sit-at-a-desk-in-order-to-do-your-work environment and an entire management and performance metric organization that's designed around sitting in a building somewhere versus total mobility in a device agnostic world enabled through an NNSA network vision type environment. So that's where the challenge lies. I think that's where the future lies for us. And I hope NNSA is going to be leading the charge.
I'd like to stay on the future, Bob. I'd like for you to tell us what you think some of the major opportunities and maybe some challenges you see your organization facing and how you think you'll evolve to meet those challenges.
It's bright. I think the future for technology leading the way in business success and national success for the government is huge. Without properly applying IT, I don't think we're going to see the possible advances that we would otherwise. Virtual work.